education show geared to adult audience. Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Yes, 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 you are exactly where you want to be. You've landed in Juicebox Radio, that's 101.9 FM on CITR, that fabulous little station in Vancouver, British Columbia. Yes, the Lotus Land we all love so much and that costs us an arm and a frickin' leg. Anyway, it's rent day tomorrow and I'm feeling it. So, maybe you're listening to us live streaming audio at CITR.ca, or maybe you're going to be downloading a podcast from juiceboxradio.com later on. Any way you've arrived, we're glad to have you. Now, poor little Caroline, just before we got on the air tonight, she got sick, and so she's not going to be with us tonight, and I'm sad about that. We came all the way out here. I do thankfully have a guest with me tonight, so we're going to be speaking with Clint from Clint TV. Hi, Clint.
Hey, Jules.
Thanks for being here. And Clint and I had this really heated discussion today earlier about balancing your masculine and feminine sides. And it was a really passionate discussion. It was really involved. And so I was sort of producing the show, and I thought, what should I do? And we started talking, and what happened was I ended up pulling up all this old research I've done years ago. I used to do a lot of papers on masculinity, and I think we did a show a couple of years ago on masculinity. So we talked about that for a bit, and tonight's show, we're going to be discussing what is masculinity, what is femininity. We're going to break that down a bit, and then we're going to come together and discuss why balancing your masculine and feminine sides can create a more holistic life for you, a pleasure-filled experience of your sexuality, and an increased ability to relate with others, so, and the world, obviously. So, yeah, some pretty powerful stuff, and I think you're going to really get a lot out of it, listeners. So if you want to call in and contribute to the conversation tonight, please do at 604-822-2487. That is 604-UBC-CITR, and we'd love to hear you contribute. Now, I can hear people talking. Can you hear them? I don't know if you can hear it on the air, guys, but hopefully the people in the hallway will know that we are live on the air and we can hear you. Anyway, all right. So are we both masculine and feminine? I think so.
I think so.
But what makes a man a man? What makes a woman a woman? And why are we this way? And what's the importance of having aspects of both? So let's break it down first. What's masculinity? What's femininity? And I said then we'll come back and talk about why the best of the both worlds can increase your ability to relate. So what does it mean to be a man in this culture?
Is it my penis?
What is it about the penis? I don't know. We were talking the cock and the wallet. We were talking a lot about the cock and the wallet, Clint, about that. And I'm thinking, is this the root of all manhood as it's sort of widely believed in Western culture? What drives men to behave the way they do? Is this coming from nature or is it all a complete and total social construction? Okay. So we're going to talk about this. Now, I know you're going to have some comments, but I want to just go over some of this research I did. It took me a long time to kind of break down what masculinity is and what femininity is. And so we're going to look at some Western ideas of what it means to be a man. And then, Clint, perhaps you can speak to your experience and your general knowledge of these points that I'm going to make. There's five sort of major themes that I think in the construction of masculinity. And I think that some men specifically act against this. But the first one, the primary rule is don't be female. So J.A. Doyle calls this the negative touchstone of men's role. And whatever women do is what a real man must not do. So that's the first one. Don't be female. The second rule is be successful. So men are trained to be these success objects, and their worth as husbands or friends or simply as men is determined by their successfulness. The object a boy soon gathers is not to be liked, but to be envied, not to be part of a group, but to distinguish himself from the others in the group. The third rule is be aggressive. So from childhood, boys are encouraged to be tough, to fight, and to not run away. Competitive sport emphasizes these values, and in many cultures, military training reinforces them. And as we know, I think that's pretty strongly reinforced. The fourth demand is be sexual. So men are supposed to be sexually experienced and to be always interested in sex. So sex isn't really a free choice when you have to perform to be a man, right? And the fifth rule, and then I'll have you comment on these. The fifth rule or theme for men is be self-reliant. Men are supposed to be competent, independent, and autonomous. That means standing on their own 2 feet. A real man doesn't need others, particularly women. He depends on himself and takes care of himself and relies on nobody. So what do you think about these?
Well, I think you have it right as far as the old paradigms are concerned, but I think there's a new paradigm showing up in town.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't be female. That's a... I guess I can agree with that. as far as whatever women do, what a real man must not do, that's the old paradigm. I think what's going on right now is men need to take a lesson from women, how to be more, listen to their hearts, listen, like develop an openness instead of cut off and separate. And I think that men, up until this point, having run the show, the patriarch and all that, have... Well, produced the way it is out there right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. The man.
The man.
Well, I mean, this success thing, we were talking about the wallet part of it, you know, and it's like the intense amount of pressure that is out there for men to be successful. I mean, the men are trained to be success objects, and their worth often is very much connected to that. What do you think about that?
Well, I would ask, what is success? How do we define it?
Okay, that's a good question.
Back in the day, sure, it was how much money am I bringing in?
Well, or I think that's often still the question of whether you're successful or not.
Well, sure. But it seems to me there's a new definition for success. Uh-huh. And we all define that as individuals and not follow the society party line, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think that that's starting to happen. Mm-hmm. And like I sort of had as a caveat earlier when before I went into these five themes, is that some men specifically act against this. And I know a lot of the men that I associate with in my life are very creative men, and they're very sort of in touch with their feminine sides and their aspects of themselves. So they aren't focused on being successful as in making money. That's not a focus. And I've never had it been one in my life either. So I don't tend to look for men that have all the bling and the nice cars and stuff like that, and that's not really been a focus. So, but it is for a lot of women. It is for a lot of women looking for male partners. They're looking for that success. I think this aggressiveness thing is something that we could probably agree mm-hmm. on, don't you? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that men, from childhood, boys are encouraged to be tough. Boys don't cry, all of this stuff, right? So mm-hmm. competitive sport reinforces that you need to sort of stand out there and be different. I think it's the opposite for women in their upbringing. Women are taught to belong, to get along with everybody, to not make waves, and to be like part of the group and not to stick out.
Right.
So it's quite an opposite situation going on there for girls being raised in society, in most cultures. And it's very interesting when I look at these. When I look at these themes, this don't be female, this be successful, be aggressive, be sexual, and be self-reliant, these are all the opposites to what are the traditional ideas of how women are supposed to be mm-hmm. in society. So it's very interesting to me looking at that, that this demand to be sexual. Men have so much pressure to be sexual, it's unbelievable. And women have so much pressure. I mean, it's changing, obviously, but we're pressured into not being sexual. It's like, don't be a slut, you know, like, don't be easy. I mean, in some cultures, this is very strong. It's still very much reality in a lot of cultures today. So,
absolutely.
You know, in westernized cultures, no, you know, Europe and North America and many places, not obviously because we have quite a diverse population in Canada, but, you know, yeah, sexuality, you got to keep that harnessed. It's for marriage, you know, et cetera. So, and the self-reliance thing, I mean, again, women are taught opposite generally. So there's nothing kind of natural or God-given about these roles. I was talking earlier about the fact that masculinity, like femininity, is actually a social construction. It's sort of a product of historical processes and what we as humans continually are producing, and we continually reproduce what we're supposed to be doing in a social construction, how we believe people's roles and the responsibilities and rules in society and all these expectations we have of each other, and these rules, roles and responsibilities, I like to call them, of what is what creates gender and our social construction of what it means to be a man or a woman in today's world. So these expectations we have in the dating world that Caroline and I have been talking so much about lately are a big part of that. Or in the bedroom. I mean, men are expected to be the directors, the aggressors, the penetrators, right? So it's interesting. I wrote in this paper years ago, I was so obsessed with learning about masculinity because I felt like I really embodied my masculinity more than most women, and preferred my men to be quite feminine. And I still appreciate men that are feminine and that are very in touch with their femininity. So we're going to talk a little bit about what femininity is as well. We want to kind of frame that. But I'd written that different societies write different scripts for their men. So it's likely that maleness in the modern West does not exactly resemble maleness in other cultures. But it's still a new question, and we have few resources actually to tell us about other cultures' construction of masculinity. We'd better be open to the possibility of a plurality of masculinities, which means multiple and shifting. The fact that not all males in whatever culture conform with the social norms, because they don't. Every culture has people that try to work against what society and the social construction of normal is. And I think that that is also a normal aspect of human nature. We want to be different. We want to be special. So often we worked out against the social construction of what is considered normal. But the norms, I think, especially in Western culture, privilege young, heterosexual, strong, and physical men. And for those who cannot be characterized are considered deviants from what's socially acceptable maleness. But they'll still be males. So we can expect then to find in our texts, in our books, and in our writings of the in society, as well as in our own society in multiple ways, representations of conflicting masculinities. So there really is no defining masculinity. I think it's more just that we have these expectations. There's this particular psychological identity, this particular social role, this particular cultural script, this place in the labor force, and this sense of the sacred is one of the quotes that I've taken out. All of these elements are socially constructed. So I'd say that this actually stands the same for women. I mean, to be female is to have a particular psychological identity. It's to have a particular social role, a cultural script of being feminine, a place in the labor force, and a sense of the sacred. The thing that I think is beautiful about what's changing about to be female is that this sense of the sacred is returning, and that's something that I'm really excited about. But again, it's all about rules, roles, and responsibilities, which, of course, are, you know, aspected of women and men. But when we think of the masculine, we think strong. You know, you'd use these words yourself, strong, directing, you'd use logical, protecting, providing. When we think of the feminine, what are the elements we think of?
Nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
Empathic.
Mm-hmm.
I would say,
Expressive.
Certainly.
Expressive, emotional, and expressing those emotions. I think having more of a bandwidth of emotion, women tend to have more of it. But I think, again, that's a social construction and expectation of women. And you and I talked about this for a while. You know, women have a better ability to listen. We're more open. We have more access to our creativity. We can be more fun and silly, and we have this gentleness. And in sexuality, we're much more sort of soft, and we are the penetrated often in sexuality. So... But, you know, when we think about, like, things like expressive and nurturing and having this bandwidth of emotion, you and I got into this really intense conversation about the fact that, you know, women are encouraged to have access to all of these emotions, whereas men are discouraged from feeling them and from expressing them. And, you know, it is changing. Parenting is getting better at that, but there's still so much of this boys don't cry thing. And, you know... that anger is good. Anger and aggression are fine ways to express your feelings.
Right.
You know, but for women, anger isn't good. So we're allowed to be sad. We're allowed to feel guilt. We're encouraged to have all these sort of gambit and this bandwidth of emotion. But we also talked about the chemical aspects of testosterone and hormones. And, you know, I think testosterone is a funny thing. You know, women have it too. Transgendered people have it. Everybody has testosterone in their body. But it's just that men's brains and trans men's brains, you know, they have they have this switch that kind of switches off their emotions. And it's actually a chemical thing. It's like enables men to fight easier and to sort of be aggressive easier and to be angry when they're faced with things that confront them, as opposed to with women, often our brain chemistry and our biochemistry ends up making us have a different option. So we may feel anger, but instead of that kind of fight, we might cry, or we might, you know, run, or we might just break down or freeze. You know, these are sort of different things. And then after, we might be more angry, or we might like be more sad or just have, like, you know, oh, okay, that I'm okay now, and have compassion as opposed to, and forgiveness and things. So I don't know. I think that I see this in little kids, you know, even in families where the boys are encouraged to be more feminine and to be more in touch with, you know, their gentleness and all that stuff. And I see lots of parents doing that now, you know, saying gentle to their boys and not allowing them. But the boys can be so aggressive, like little boys, very young. Super aggressive, you know, and just like angry, you know, like this anger going on, as opposed to, I don't know, girls who cry and
right.
So we talked about that. Do you remember any of that?
Oh, yeah.
Looking at me with this face, like
no, I think that's got a lot to do with the, with nutrition, actually.
Oh, really?
The fact that the aggression is there and the ADD factor and apply a pharmaceutical as opposed to the root cause.
Which is what do you think?
Well, I think we're feeding our kids a bunch of crap food that has no nutritional value whatsoever, and that's the obvious result.
Well, I think there's a brain chemistry involved as well with testosterone.
Absolutely.
And aggressiveness, and And because I know in transgender studies, and you know, the trans folks out there that go from male to female, for mm-hmm. one of the biggest things they report when they start taking testosterone is that they actually start to feel more sadness.
Really?
You know, when the men start to transition to women and they start doing testosterone blocking and taking other androgens that come in and estrogen that comes in, they start to have more feelings of sadness and mm-hmm. more like sensitivities and just like more awareness of the world around them and empathy and, like you're saying, kind of what was the word you used? Was it empathy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And just all of that. And then the men, you know, the trans men, who, from women to men, they transition, they start taking testosterone. They notice that their aggression goes up. They notice that they don't cry. They go years without crying. And all of a sudden, they're just like, they just don't feel as much. They're a lot more rational and logical. And they just, you know, and so for me, when I see the trans studies and talk to trans people, as I have a lot in the earlier years of the show, I was very much involved and interested. I was going to do a master's in that, but it just didn't end up being that way. But
it's very interesting, actually.
So that's a really big, obvious thing. It's like, hello, you know, like right. You apply, somebody feels this way for their whole lives, and then they start applying this hormone, and then they feel this totally different way.
Mm-hmm.
So, hello, like... Right. Men and women are fighting, you know, these biochemistries that are existing in them.
Right.
So right. What were you going to say?
Well, I'm just thinking I have someone in my life who's shared with me that they're right from their first memory, mm-hmm. They're male, but they had a feminine brain.
Mm-hmm.
And is in the process of going through the transgender...
Transitioning,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, well, trans people often, you know, from their earliest memories, 2-3 years old, they just know they're in the wrong body.
Yeah.
When you differentiate gender, you're about 2, maybe 3 for some people. 2.5, 3 years old is around when you start to notice that you're a boy and this your other person's a girl, and mm-hmm. you start to notice the gender. So that's your first representation
right.
around 3, and that's when trans people notice that they're not in the right body. That they're like, this is not my body.
Yep.
So you could imagine from 3 on, which most trans people do, they know from 3 on. Some of them decide that they're okay with that. They're in the wrong body and that's all right. And then, you know, they make it through puberty and they're like, you know, this doesn't feel good and whatever. And some of them go their whole lives. But there's a lot more trans people out there than we know, because often some of them just deal with it. And or they kill themselves
right.
a lot of times, you know.
Exactly.
Or they transition. So,
self-hate.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. So they are very, it becomes more obvious there of the behavior of our, you know, our body chemistry and our brain chemistry on our behavior. So there's this nurture nature conversation, right? We could go on about that. But I want to ask you some questions, and I wanted to kind of think about this myself too. What did you use to build your idea of masculinity growing up?
What did you use?
How did you build it?
Well, you got your father, obviously. You got TV, you got society, and I realized that that wasn't working for me because it was all messed up.
Mm.
My role models were, extreme masculine. So the aggressor, the angry, and I just realized angry wasn't working for me. How do you express an anger and get your point across?
Mm.
I realized that I needed to adopt some and found out eventually that we all have masculine and feminine within us.
Yes,
now,
we do.
The fact that I have a penis, does that make me 51% masculine and 49% feminine? I don't know.
I would say no.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because I built my idea of femininity definitely on my mother. Like,
mm-hmm.
that was a huge, huge influence. I also had an older sister.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was that, and I had older cousins. She was very masculine. She still is. Very masculine. I mean, she's very, very, very masculine. So, you know, I had quite a different realms of femininity to grow up, and I had a huge family, so I had lots of women to sort of influence me, and a stepmother who was a doctor and, you know, quite masculine in some ways as well. And so I had very strong role models, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and my best friends were quite feminine. And so, you know, and I'm very feminine. I think I growing up, I was incredibly feminine.
I give you that, Jules.
I've developed my masculinity, though, over my... from about mid-20s. So for the last, 13 years, I've started to sort of embrace this rational stuff, this logical stuff, right. this sort of strong directing, yep. control,
sure.
providing. And even in sexuality, I think it's become more where I can be very aggressive sexually. Mm-hmm. And I think that has to do a lot with confidence, though,
absolutely.
You know, and asking for what you want, which I think is part of the benefit of bringing these, what it's called, masculine. I even hate the words masculine and feminine. Mm-hmm. And I think the society, we're trying to find other words to describe these characteristics because they're not necessarily masculine and feminine.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's
oh,
like
I know.
They're yin and yang,
absolutely.
Or whatever. Even that's got this polarization. It's just, I wish we could just describe them as elements of being human.
Right.
And they weren't necessarily a feminine or a masculine or like a yin or a yang. It's just kind of like elements of being human. And some of us are more creative and more expressive
right.
and more emotional and whatever.
Right.
And I know so many men that you would call typically very feminine.
Right.
Anyway, we're getting off topic. So I would think like... yeah, I don't know. I didn't really watch TV. I never really have. I've never been interested in it much at all in my whole life. So I can't really say that there's been, Madonna.
Mm-hmm.
She was one for sure. She was definitely an icon of mine and one that I really admired. And I still do. So what about images for adult men these days? Like, what images are there for men to imitate? Like, who do we see out there in society? How do men...
Let's look at sports.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so there's these big beefy men that are really tough and they drink beer and...
Right.
And womanizers mm-hmm. and whatever. Yeah. But there's these gay men out now. So, being gay is very cool. And so now it's like you see these gay images all the time and these gay men, and they're just as buff. I think the gay men are the ones that have more eating disorders than women these days. I mean, I've been reading studies about that as well. And quite surprising that these men are doing this to themselves. Like women, we've been so bad at that, like just trying to be perfect for each,
right.
And women are competing, trying to be like physically gorgeous and perfect and, and we create our own eating disorders and these horrible experiences we have with our bodies. And now I see this gay men culture. They're just the test. They're doing all these drugs to
right.
get perfect looking and sculptured. And then they're at the gym and it's like they're obsessed and it's really intense. Like,
Right. Apparently that culture is hardcore as far as the
yeah.
judgment is concerned of
who's pretty and
right.
who matches up and
who
what's up.
Gets
yeah.
the...
Yeah, it's intense.
Exactly.
So I think that's very interesting. And I was thinking about that on the way here. Even the gay men aren't giving each other a break.
Right.
So anyway, right. Well, I was going to ask Caroline all these questions as well, but we don't have her to ask. The images, I think, thank goodness I'm not locked up with this stuff anymore, but... I still look at these beautiful women. For me, it's about youngness now, right? Because
mm-hmm.
I'm getting old. So
mm-hmm.
it's just like now I look at these beautiful, perfect-skinned, young, nubile women, and I'm like, damn it.
Jules, you're a hottie.
I'm past
Don't
my prime.
Anybody tell you different.
Past my prime. So what do you have? It's okay. I've got all the great qualities that older women have, and that's fine. So, so we talked about the five themes. How does that make you feel? This masculine construction.
Well, pigeonholes me, man.
Yeah, dude.
I'm done with that.
Brutal. Okay, we're done with that. So I think the second half of the show, what we're going to talk about is how we're going to bring these qualities, elements of being human together, and how that actually allows for you to
expression. Self-expression.
Balancing the masculine and feminine sides. We need to commit to doing this because it's going to bring us better relationships and better sex. So I'm guaranteeing you, this is my stamp of guarantee, like 100% guarantee. If you learn to balance your sides, you're going to have better sex. You're going to have better relationships. And the world is going to be a better place. So we're going to talk about this after the second half. And without my little engineer here, I have to do it. So here we go.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been a while since I played Regina Spektor. She's a fabulous singer from Europe, I think. And we have her on Juicebox tonight. So you're listening to 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is CITR Radio. And as much as this is a huge subject, masculinity and femininity, we're going to talk about after the break, balancing these in yourself for better sex. So stay tuned.
Thank you. is how it works. It feels a little worse than when we drove our hearse right through that screaming crowd while laughing up a storm until we were just bone. Until it got so warm that none of us could sleep, and all the styrofoam began to melt away. We tried to find some worms to aid in the decay, but none of them were home inside the catacomb. A million ancient bees began to sting our knees while we were on. We heard November rain, that solo's real long, but it's a pretty song. We listened to it twice, 'cause the DJ was asleep. Bum, ba, bum, ba, bum. This is how it works. You're young until you're not. You love until you don't. You try until you can. You peer inside yourself. You take the things you like, then try to love the things you took. And then you take that love you made and stick it into someone else's heart, pumping someone else's blood and walking arm in arm. You hope it don't get harmed, but even if it does, you just do it all again. And on the radio, you'll hear November rain. That solo's awful long, but it's a good refrain. You'll listen to it twice, 'cause the DJ is asleep. On the radio, on the radio, on the radio, uh-oh. On the radio, uh-oh. On the radio, uh-oh. On the radio.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
What is that? I know what that is. That's music.
For $15, the Friends of CITR card scores you in-store discounts at Beat Street, Red Cat, Vinyl, Scratch, and Audio Pile. Support Vancouver's finest indie radio station and pick up your card today.
What do you want to do with your life?
I want to rock.
And we are back. Thanks for listening to Juicebox Radio. We have a caller, and I'm just trying, as usual, to get him on, so hold on. Caller, are you in the air? Can we hear you? Hello.
I'm not sure why this thing isn't working. I don't think this is so annoying.
Caller, if you're listening, just call back. Thanks. Yeah, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But tonight, the buttons are acting weird, and so I'm not sure if it's actually going to work. But perhaps he will call back. He was saying something very intelligent, and it'd be great if he called.
Looking forward to hearing.
Yeah, so, all right, before the break, we were discussing this sort of old paradigm of this masculinity-femininity thing, and there were some areas you wanted to comment on, this competition thing.
Yeah.
We were talking about the men are expected to be competitive and to be aggressive.
Right. I'm looking at competition, and it's all about winner and loser.
Mm.
Let's compete to see who can do more, do better, add more value, as opposed to causing one above everybody else, you know, put someone on a pedestal because they rock and no one else does. I don't get that anymore. Mm-hmm. I like the feminine perspective of group mentality, of let's benefit everybody, mm-hmm. As opposed to separate and mm-hmm. I win, you lose.
Yeah, totally. Again, you know, there's a lot of trouble with this masculine feminine words. I think that that's a humanity perspective and an mm-hmm. interdependence mm-hmm. perspective, sort of looking out for the whole. I think that's really where we need to go for the future, is around, you know, this interdependence and knowing that we can't just be self-reliant. We right. can't just be all independent and things. We actually depend on each other. Where do we get our food every day?
Right.
How do we, you know, get heat? You know, all right. the things that we surround ourselves
right.
by. Other humans have made these things.
Right.
And so we depend on each other. And so I think to take care of each other more, you know, yeah. there's nothing wrong with a little healthy competition. But it's, yeah, again, not about squishing somebody under mm-hmm. your boot. I mean, we could talk about commerce like crazy
Absolutely.
Right now, and these haves and have-nots and how troubled the world has become. But this is a sex show. So
right.
we're going to get back to the sex part. But yeah, I think balancing all these elements of being human, I think, will be a very powerful way to begin to be more successful in our lives and make the world a better place. I know that sounds all mm-hmm. little airy-fairy, but it's so true. I mean, but it's not really about, I think, what we're doing, which has been not going very well, which is asking women to be more like men and forcing them to be more like men and men to be more like women. And like, because when we think about women and their connection to masculinity, what's the world coming to? Like, if you think about a masculine woman, how is she described?
Butch.
And like bossy and,
right.
you know, bitchy.
Mm-hmm.
And these women that in business, you know, men that act like that, they're called assertive.
Right.
You know? Oh, that man's strong, he's powerful,
to, yeah.
he's assertive, and they're looked
yeah.
up to. Women are considered bossy, bitchy, and, you know, or not beautiful, like this butchiness or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's so backwards. It just flies in the face of what I think we're trying to do, which is to kind of level the playing field. And it's not working. So, you know, and I think about this connection of masculinity and war. It's like all the warring that's going on.
Yep.
This is all about this aggression that we, as a society, admire in
mm-hmm.
our men, to be strong, to be aggressive, to go to war and fight and all this. You know, sure, there's women in the military, but
right.
they've got to be masculine. Like, they've got to fight like cats and dogs. You know, this is like crazy. They've got to be like super hardcore, you know,
yeah.
and just like really like violent. And it's just and then of course women that are trying to make it in the business world, we have to be violent, but it's like, you know, emotionally and just be these hard asses, and it's not working. So I don't mean to come down on masculine traits and things, but I think that the wave of the future is of humanity, how we're going to need to go is around these feminine qualities. So we named them in the earlier part of the show, and I think this kind of openness, you know, this funness, the silliness, the gentleness, the ability to listen, to be expressive, to be emotional.
Be in touch with your feelings.
To be in touch with your feelings, to express them in a way that is not needy and weepy and everything
right,
or whatever, but
just
assertively.
Is the way it is.
And this is how I'm
for
feeling.
For me.
And yeah, so.
And if you don't like it, I'm out or you're out or whatever.
And I think men need to start to embrace this.
I agree.
Like it's
well,
just,
we all do.
These qualities are important for us to get along and for us to have a better society.
Clarity is key.
And
I agree.
Being clear, but then being able to communicate.
And express it, absolutely.
You know, so these men are called to be more open with their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And
that
I don't know, is that
sense,
working?
Man.
I think it's working. I see that as working.
It works for me, I'm telling you.
And calling men to be more in their heart and knowing their
right.
heart knowledge and that.
It doesn't make us a pussy or a wimp if we're more into our heart.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us stronger, in my mind. It more well-rounded, more holistic,
mm-hmm.
more a bit more able to speak our feelings and say how it is and say no instead of having to get angry and freak out and
or lie.
Or lie.
Lie or,
yeah.
like, cheat or
live our truth.
Steal or, yeah. You know, it's interesting because I think the more men that I experience as being close to their heart
mm-hmm.
and feeling, hold on, I see somebody's calling.
All right.
You're on the air. Hello, you're on the air. I can hear you, I think. Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi, you're on the air for Juicebox. Thanks for calling.
Hey, just in regards to social constructs versus genetic factors.
Yes.
I think there's slight differences in the stress response. I mean, especially since males are probably about 10 times more likely to be victims of violence, we may develop sort of behaviors to try to protect ourselves.
Right.
Aggressive behaviors.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And also, I know for myself, if I go 10 hours without eating, I quite literally start thinking about murdering people. And
that could be a body chemistry, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of, say, violent tendencies that are inherent in being male.
Mm.
And I think just issues of control arise because of those.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting you say that, and I think that energy that men feel can be harnessed in a different way, and I think that it's something that men do, and male-brained people do have, it's different than women, and it is a powerful energy, and it is a chemical energy, I agree with you, and I think it is hormone-related, and it is brain chemistry and body chemistry-related, and of course, like you're saying, behavior around having to protect yourself and learn to be more aggressive, for sure, but that energy can be harnessed in a more positive way too, right, in a non-violent way. So it's all about kind of breaking it down and realizing that it is just an emotional response and it is a physiological response and kind of doing that cognitive behavioral therapy with that. And I think that men can utilize it and be very powerful, and that's fabulous, you know, good for you. You don't have to be violent, though, you know. You don't have to act violently.
Well, of course, but I'm saying the impulses may be more prevalent in males due to their body chemistry.
Absolutely.
I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. And harness that energy and just go fuck like animals. No. Just say that out loud. I love men, and I love their male energy. It's all good. But thank you. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Take care.
Have a great night.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, so the board's all lit up at the moment. I have no idea what's going on. Thank you, caller. That was very insightful. So, yeah. I love the callers, but they're always kind of, you know, it's like...
Right.
Halt.
Talking about sexuality and men and how, you know, we could possibly improve ourselves by opening up to our inner thing, you know, knowing what our heart's telling us and being clear about what we want and claiming it, proclaiming it.
Yes.
And I hear the brothers, what he's saying about wanting to murder somebody with that vibe and not eating properly and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the kind of mentality that it's almost like it blankets all of masculinity around the world, right? We're so taught that, and that we have to be able to change and redirect. In fact, right?
Redirect and redirect
that,
our energy.
That energy into, and almost transmute it.
Mm-hmm. Well, to bring it to something worthwhile, something that adds value to the world as
Absolutely.
Opposed to takes away, which violence often does. Almost always does.
Right.
So we were talking about the benefits to bringing all of these elements, these humanity elements to and expressive elements and emotional elements.
To the bedroom.
To the bedroom.
Right.
But we were talking about how it's going to benefit. I mean, this increased emotional bandwidth. So when I say that, I mean being able to access the tenderness and the pain and the sadness and the exhilaration and the silliness and the giggling and the all of those things is gonna bring you back to what it was like to be a child when we were open, when we had a lot of creative ability and we were just more channeling everything through us.
And everything's new and everything's awesome.
Wonder
and
creativity and these multiple qualities. These are higher level qualities that all humans have and that men, I think, unfortunately, are asked to squinch down and squash.
I agree 100%.
So I think when you open that emotional bandwidth again and start to practice feeling these different things, then your sexuality is going to be really expanded. And I just try it.
Absolutely.
So we also talked about being more whole and complete and in relationship that allowing you to be less needy.
Mm-hmm.
to have others fulfilling you all the time. Like,
right.
Because if you have both qualities, we talked about how you might be more grounded. You know, women, we might be more strong. Men may be able to have that nurturing that they're missing in their lives and that they seek in women mm-hmm. or in other relationships, that nurturing, that being cared for. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, women, we might be able to actually allow ourselves to be taken care of or to care for others and in more of a balanced way. And for men to be taken.
Right. And you know? Also, like, when we're in the middle of sex, instead of the male, you know, slam, bam, thank you, ma'am, roll over, go to sleep, there's this potential of afterwards, a cuddle, man. I dig that. I'm serious.
Cuddling is very important.
Oh, man.
The afterplay. I'm always advocating afterplay is absolutely critical. Even if you just mutually masturbated, cuddling and snuggling after without mixing your fluids if you're trying not to get pregnant or have an STI.
That's where all the fun is.
But the cuddling and the afterplay are really important for connection. And there's actually a switch in men, actually. I've read a lot of studies about this, that men actually have to fight against often this switch of, like, once they've ejaculated, they want to not cuddle. Because they want to get away. They just they don't want to touch anymore. And so they fight against this often and learn that, yes, I need to cuddle, and yes, I need to open myself up. So they might just put their arm out and the woman just lays in it or whatever, and it's all good. But
I think that comes from a touch-deprived society.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm quite certain.
Well, we were talking about this powerful man going in for the BDSM.
Right.
And I think that this is about, if you can be more whole and complete in your sexuality and in who you are in relationship, because if you can learn to have the ability to let go. And I think for a lot of men, they don't know how to let go.
That's right.
Women don't either. We're terrible at it. And that's what keeps us from orgasming, is the ability to let go. So I think, you know, you see all these BDSM dungeons are so full of these very powerful men. You know, men in politics, men in high-end, you know, money-making machines and things like that. Because they're constantly having to make decisions, constantly yeah. having to be in a place of power. And so they, for once, want to go and just be taken. Be bossed around, be out of control, mm-hmm. like, take, you know, having to let go. So there's something to be said there, you know. If you embody all of those elements and start to learn to let go and start to learn to be in touch with these sort of softer sides of yourself, there's going to be a huge benefit there. And allowing your lovers to take you, allowing your lovers to boss you around in the bedroom once in a while.
Once in a while, why not, man?
You know, I'm not big on it myself. I'm sort of a bottom, but I understand. You know, men like to be taken sometimes, and they like the woman to be aggressive, and so we should do that. We should just switch those roles.
I seriously
and let the
dig
men
the spoon.
Take the responsibility away. The spooning, yes.
Yeah, man.
I like the spooning too. And then I think other benefits we talked about getting into were that there's so much us against them.
Right.
You know, and we take sides all the time. We're always like, men against women, men will be Mars, women are from Venus, all this bullshit
right.
about, like,
separation yeah.
mentality, that we're different, that we're so different.
Right.
Well, you know, we're a little different.
Right.
But it's the social construction of our differences that pushes us to mm-hmm. being these polarized opposites.
Mm-hmm.
And really, this us against them mentality, this is all about nationalities, religions, and it's really not working. So, like,
obviously.
We need to understand each other more. We need to have the ability to see the other side, quote unquote, by bringing logic and empathy.
Right. And openness.
And, like, you
listening.
Know, yeah. And
asking
rationality.
Questions.
And rationality and just, you know, emotions and just being
right.
honest and stuff. So, yeah, obviously, there's a huge amount of benefit to bringing this gamut, you know, of responses and ways to be in the world. And you were saying empathy rather than all rational or all emotional or non-emotional, you know, having a balance of these things, being able to say, you know, I'm feeling really hurt by that right now. Not like, it makes me want to go, you know, like, but saying, you know, I'm really quite feeling upset, I'm angry, and this is why, you know.
Right, finding the root cause.
Being honest about that, you know, like
absolutely.
Saying this is why I'm
and
feeling.
Sharing with somebody about
mm-hmm.
that, because we all got our issues, brothers and sisters.
We all got our issues. So being able to communicate better. And you know what? Communication absolutely is the bottom line.
Crucial.
I talk about this all the time. And in fact, I want to change the name of the show to, like, Juicebox Communication, because that is what it's all about.
It is.
This is it.
Fully. And until we tap into our own inner thing as men, we're not going to be able to communicate. That's crucial. We work ourselves. The inner work.
You mean get to know yourself
that's
better, right?
That's right. Crucial.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's the only thing that saved me, I got to tell you. I'm a much better me now.
Can you give me more of an example of that? Can you paint a picture for
us? Well, yes. I'll tell you a little story. My first memory, this life, okay? I'm comparing pee-pees with the girl next door, all right? I'm the one with my pants down. As my dad comes out the door, says, "Arlene, go home. Clint, come here." And he whacked me. Spank, spank, spank. Now, I learned that my penis was bad. I learned sexual attraction to females was bad. I learned to have a sphincter factor of 9.5 for 33 some odd years of my life, because the spanking didn't stop until I was, you know, 13 or something like that, right?
Mm.
But
a lot of spanking.
There was a lot of spanking there, yeah. Yeah. So anyways, what I learned was to keep my feelings, to not express, to not be interested, to be interested, but I was never able to express myself with women. So anytime I was sexually attracted to a female, I would be this weird freak. Mm-hmm. So what I had to do was forgive, first of all,
your dad,
my father, and that whole experience, and and see it as the lesson of how to learn to who I am and what I want, and develop this clarity, and also to be able to share with impunity, without thinking someone's going to judge me.
Right.
Just be able to share. Crucial.
Yeah, I just something came into my mind just now, thinking about men trying to be more in touch with these softer, you know, qualities, or these empathetic, creative, expressive qualities. And I think, you know, I also like my men to be really strong.
Right.
It's kind of tough.
For sure.
So it's a fine balance.
I hear that.
It's a fine balance. And you know what? Not every person is going to be attracted to every other person. Like,
right.
You know, there's going to be really feminine. I dated some men that were incredibly feminine, and it turned out they were too feminine for me.
Right, right.
And so I thought, at first I thought they'd be perfect, because I'm so masculine myself in a lot of ways. But no, it turned out that I was like, no, I like a man to be more of a man. But what is a man, right? It's just like, oh.
This director guy in bed.
So complex. Yeah, I wanted
this. I want you here, and let's go, girl.
I like the directors in bed for sure,
yeah.
But I prefer to wear the pants and the rest of the family. but this dance, I think this dance, you hear that, all those guys out there that are interested in dating me, that's the way it's going to go. So there's this conversation about this expectations and the flexibility that this greater pool of resources to work with and from, if we allow ourselves to have this greater access to more, can you help me out here? Greater access to more emotions and creativity and expressiveness and
right.
Communication and all that. I think that we're going to be able to do more of a dance with each other. So I think it's going to be another benefit to bringing all these elements into your own life.
Inner knowingness. You got to know what you want before you can express it.
Yeah. Definitely. And then allowing that dance to happen, because otherwise you're sort of in this world of expectations,
right,
of each other. So it's like, I want this man to be this knight in shining armor and him to be exactly like this. And the men are like, I want this woman or whatever. I'm speaking hetero right now, but to be exactly like this. And so, you know, we end up falling in love with this expectation of what we think is an
right.
ideal for us, as opposed to who that person really is.
Right.
And so we don't do this dance very well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes us a good 6 months to a year before we even have a clue who the hell we're dating.
Exactly.
You know, because we think that they're this other person that we dated last year.
Right.
And this mixture of these 10 other people that we, you know. So this flexibility, I think, that's offered if you continue to work with your own limitations, your own kind of... if you're too strong in one capacity, like you're too logical, you're too rational, you're too emotional, you're too whatever, I think it's just...
And it all comes down to...
To do that, to get to know yourself.
Yeah, I agree.
That dance.
And what are your results? How are your results with the opposite sex? If you're getting it all the time, you're doing good, man.
Mm.
If the way I look at it, if pets, if babies, and if girls love me, then I know I'm doing awesome. That's it. It comes down to you. And so far, so good.
Okay, well, there's the new possibilities are huge.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely.
You know.
I'm a way better me. I love me way more now than I ever used to. I'll tell you, there was a lot of self-hate going on now.
Until
I forgave it all, it wasn't changing.
You know, I think that that's an unfortunate problem with every person. until we grow, know either that we've been raised really well, and so we have this confidence from very early on, which is quite a rare situation. I think getting better, though, I think as parents become more aware of how mm-hmm. we nurture and don't nurture mm-hmm. our children. I lost my train of thought.
Well, the nurturing and...
You can't rescue me, I don't think, because you don't know what my thought was. The possibilities that they're huge for us if we can get beyond our beliefs about ourselves that are so limited. It's huge for me too, as my thought returns, that you know, if your confidence is there and you feel good about who you are and you know who you are, then you can really bring yourself to the relationship, whatever it might be. But on the end of the hour here, I want to talk a little bit about this assertiveness thing, because I think assertiveness is one of the keys to being as happy and successful as you potentially possibly could be, is that we need to learn to be assertive in our worlds. So in the way that we communicate. And with that, I mean that you get to know who you are and what you want, but then you communicate that with not an ounce of guilt, an ounce of like feeling that you're not worthy of these things. And that takes assertiveness. That takes the ability to say, this is what I need. This is how I need it. And, you know, that's it. Like, either you're open to giving it to me or you're not, you know. But I think assertiveness is really key for women, especially, to learn to be more like... for all of us, but I think for women, we were talking a lot about how males should be embodying these more feminine traits, but this assertiveness thing for women, I think, is so critical. I know a lot of men that need to work on their assertiveness too, mm-hmm. but it takes confidence, you know? It takes an ability to know who you are and then to feel that you're worth it, that you're worth asking for what you want.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, like that, it takes a lot of self-worth.
And that inner work is crucial for all of us. That's mm-hmm. Beyond gender.
Beyond gender. So the last little quote I want to say before I let you finish with your finishing is that the future of humanity, they say, is femininity. So if femininity is a remedy for mankind and is the way to prevent its destruction, and I agree, then to develop it becomes a necessity and the responsibility of each human being, regardless of his or her gender.
Very good.
So, and I know you had some really deep thoughts, so I want you to be able to share them. I just wanted to end my deep thoughts with that.
Cool.
So that is the future of humanity.
Cool, and kind of on the same wavelength. We look at Earth, all right, we call it the mother, right? One of the things I learned with my story there, the spanking, the sphincter factor 9-5, that's a tight anus. Is what that is. That's our root chakra cut off from Earth, which our bodies are made of.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's cut off and we have no ground, then then we don't have a clue.
So you're telling people to ground down and to get back to nature.
Right. Get back to nature. Open up to Earth.
Yeah.
And look at how we're raping the Earth.
Yeah.
Look how we're not honoring.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only clue I need to know that things has got to change. Otherwise, we're in for some massive change, like Earth style.
Yeah, that's Earth style is right. Right. Well, and as far as the sex goes, I think that there's a whole lot of humping going on if we can get that right. And I know that all genders and sexes like to hump. I'm sorry, we're humpers.
I'm in.
Okay, we're all humpers. Dry humpers, wet humpers, humpers with penetration or no penetration. We all like to hump, okay? So, trans, gay, straight, I don't care.
Love the sex.
All, yeah, that's the humpitudinals. So, hump away. No, that's really not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that I think the more that we... What am I trying to say, Clint?
I'm saying I love sex, and I think you love sex, and everybody else loves sex. So let's
not everybody.
Open up.
Not everybody, that's for
they
sure.
Should.
I've talked to a lot of people who really... I know, but that's because they're afraid.
Right.
It's because they're afraid, and because it's too much
time.
For them. It's too much for them. Inner work time, yeah.
Nothing else is going to change.
Masturbation.
Until we change.
Forgiveness.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, work on your quote-unquote feminine traits, everybody, and I think the world would be a better place. And for those people who are way too soft, work on your assertiveness.
Right. Pick it up a little bit. If you got a penis... It's there for
you
a reason.
Don't have a penis. If you don't have a penis, you can learn to be assertive, too.
Right.
But if you have one, yes. Okay, we're digressing. Now, the next show's host, Marion, is on his way. I think he may be here by 11:30. His car won't start. You never know. He may not come in.
Okay.
But he asked me to put the BBC on before the end of the show, all so right. That's what I'm going to do. And tonight's topic, balancing the masculine and feminine, bit of a heavy topic, probably could have talked about every piece of that area for hours.
Right.
Maybe we'll get back to more of that another time. But, Clint, thank you very much for being on the show.
My pleasure, Jules.
And it was great to have a male perspective. We're often missing that on Juicebox Radio because Caroline and I like to go off on our feminine tangents and our femaleness. So we hope you enjoyed tonight's show, and we'll be back next week. In the meantime, if you have recommendations for a show topic that you'd like to hear or questions about anything to do with sexuality or relationships, please email julia@juiceboxradio.com. And you can tune into Juicebox Radio every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock.
Love and peace, everybody.
I'm trying to do the thing. Here we go. It's hard to do.
You're awesome.
Okay, thanks for listening. You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.